Father, thanks so much that we get to be in your house to get together this morning and together as a church family. Thanks for Pastor Ruth and just her ministry to our church in this last year and just her life and her example as an intercessor, as a prayer warrior. We just pray blessings upon her and her family and their ministry in the Philippines and beyond and their missions across the world. We pray blessing upon them. Bless the time we have today together this morning. Bless the Chinese congregation as well as they receive your word too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Pastor Ruth is from Malaysia, but she's based out in the Philippines right now, pastoring a church with her husband in the Philippines, really gifted in prayer, intercession, prophetic teaching. And she's been with our church starting last February, different times, mainly the Chinese congregation, but we've been receiving her at different times, and we wanted her to share in the English congregation today. And so here she is. This is Pastor Ruth, everybody. Let's welcome her.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you, Lord. You promised that you're going to send greater revival upon this congregation. And we believe that you are going to raise a very strong army of God to advance the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the things, all the good things that you have done in this congregation. And I pray and ask the Lord, you'll continue to move powerfully in this congregation. Father, I pray that this morning we want to invite the loving presence of the Holy Spirit to come and minister to each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray that you will empower me to share for your word. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray. Amen. You know that as I pray for y'all, I believe that God is going to send greater revival fire upon your congregation. And I believe that God is going to raise a very strong and mighty army of God to advance his kingdom in the name of Jesus. And I believe that there is, each and every one of you, we believe, and I truly believe that there is a special place in kingdom for each and every one of you. And God is positioning everyone for his kingdom right now. God is positioning everyone for his kingdom right now, including youth. And it's time for youth of God to take their rightful place in the kingdom. And also, not only for youth, but each and every one of you, the Lord is going to raise you up to take your rightful place in the kingdom. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And therefore, do not underestimate what God wants to do with you. And do not underestimate how God wants to use you to build and to train God's people to fulfill his calling, fulfill their calling in their life. So in the book of Daniel, therefore consecration is very, very important. Do you know that actually, as you look at the life of Daniel, shall we turn to the book of Daniel chapter 1, in order, verse 8. When Daniel was brought to Babylon, and he resolved not to defy himself with the royal food and wine. Chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, but he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So therefore, because Daniel willing to consecrate himself, so the Lord make him the head and not the tail. In order, and look at the verse 17. You know that to those four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand vision and dreams of all kinds. And look at verse 19 to 20. The king talked with Dan, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. So therefore, we believe that God is going to bless each and every one of us, not only sufficiently, but abundantly. And God is going to raise us as the head and not the tail in our society and in the United States. So in order to be used by God mightily in our nation, in our society, so the Lord requires to consecrate ourselves. The Lord requires to follow Daniel's life example. He chose not to defile himself with royal food and wine. So I pray that God is going to cleanse you, God is going to consecrate you, God is going to purify you, because He wants to use you mightily in to reach out and minister to this generation. There are so many lost souls in the world, and they are waiting for you to be raised up by God to reach out to them, to bring forth God's hope and take God's healing to them. Father, I pray and ask that, Lord, you will speak to them this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray. You know that look at the life of Evan Roberts, a movement known as the Welsh Revival began in 1904 when Evan Roberts, at the age of 26, said to his college principal, "I keep hearing a voice that tells me I must go home to speak to our young people in my home church." So began a sweeping revival in which 100,000 people were converted in 5 months throughout Wales. And we believe that God is going to do the same thing in the United States today. Are you ready for it? And next one, Jonathan Edwards, a young preacher in Northern Penn. You know that Edwards had a great influence on the youth of his day. In 1734, some exciting things began to happen. And among the young people of New England, it seems to be a time of extraordinary dullness in religion. And Winkie Brennan writes in Revival, you know that he said that revival prevailing among the youth of the town. These church kids, you know, their parents walked the street, and you know that party all night. They party all night. And then when two young people died unexpectedly, son of Edward's sermon began to get through. The young rebels of the town began to turn to Christ, and it became the Jesus movement of his generation too. We expect that God is, there will be another Jesus movement in the United States. Hallelujah. And then we believe the time has come for the churches, especially youth in the United States, to rise up to the call of God to reach out to their generation and rise up to the call for unbroken prayer for our nation to build a stronger wall of protection around individuals, families, churches, cities, and our beloved nation. You know, a city without prayer wall is exposed to the attack of enemy from all sides. Look at here. If we look at our society today, do you have something like that? Can you please? Yeah. Okay. So we look at America today. You know that actually suffering from all kind of a demonic attack. Can you please just press faster because I need to rush. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Because I didn't expect to share two different congregations today this morning, so I have to rush. So therefore, you look at America today, they're actually already suffering from attack of all sides from enemies. You know that actually. And then in former days, the cities possessed strong exterior walls to protect their people and wealth. The book of Nehemiah deals with the time when a remnant of the Jews had returned from captivity and exile in Babylon. So what they do is, the first batch actually was led by Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. The second batch was led by Israel to rebuild the life of Israelite people. And then the third batch was led by Nehemiah to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Because without the exterior wall of Jerusalem being rebuilt, then they will be suffering from all kind of attack, enemies attack. So therefore, Nehemiah concerned about the ruin, and therefore he had burden to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, just like today. Do you have the burden to rebuild the life of people in the United States? In order, do we concern about the ruins facing our youth? If you look at the life of our youth today in America, it says that let's pause and take a look at the ruins and challenges facing our own life, our family, especially our youth, our church, and our nation today. The major issue facing teenagers, teen violence, school shootings, you know, cyberbullying, internet addiction. I'm so sorry, I have to rush. You know, bring TV violence and teen suicide. What are you going to do with all this problem? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Next, In the United States, more than 4 children die from child abuse and neglect on a daily basis. Over 70% of these children are below the age of 3. And approximately 5 children die every day because of child abuse. 1 out of 3 girls and 1 out of 5 boys will be sexually abused before they reach age 18. 90% of child sexual abuse victims know the perpetrator in some way. 68% are abused by a family members. Look at next one. Human trafficking. Sex trafficking of children and youth in the United States is getting severe. A youth suicide statistic. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for college age youth and ages 12 to 8. Next problem, drug and alcohol abuse rampant throughout the nation. Serious mental health problems. You know that today's youth suffering from serious mental health problems. And next one, they are growing up too fast. And we also could hear violence here and there, especially in schools and in campus. And also, most of them addicted to computer games. So we need to pray for them. So therefore, God wants to raise them up as a strong prayer warrior to pray for God's protection and covering upon this generation. And you see, look at here. Next one. Praise God. The Hebrew word for intercession is paga. It means build a wall of protection around someone that you are interceding. Can you please press further? Yeah, thank you. So therefore, throughout history, Christians changed war events not so much through physical force, but on their knees. Howard and his company interceded for Britain during the dark days of World War II. The end of the war and the returns of the Jews to Palestine in 1948 were a great cause for celebration for Rees and his team. It's because this is the result, this is the outcome of great intercession among them. So let us look at next one. You can make the difference, brothers and sisters in Christ. We declare that the Spirit of God are pouring out on the youth of America and pouring out on all the adults in America. And we believe that the Lord is going to raise up America, more and more missionary in America. And I believe that we really declare that the Spirit of God pouring out on all the people in America. And no, this spirit will be stronger than any rebellion and will work to turn the nation back to God. Hallelujah. And in order, and every generation, God has be faithful to bring revival to his people and spiritual awakening to the nation. In almost all cases, and this movement of the Spirit was most evident among young people. Because Jesus is the great freedom fighter. And he is going to bring complete freedom to our nation. We can declare freedom from rebellion, freedom from sexual addiction, freedom from drugs and occult. We declare a great spiritual jailbreak for the youth, for all the people of America. So, and I pray for this coming revival movement in which great conviction of sin and holy cleansing what take place everywhere in America. What is the meaning of revival? How are we going to prepare ourselves for the coming revival? So look at here. The word revival means return, means restore, and rise up to advance the kingdom of God. Let's look at book of 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 37 to 40. He said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them there. Unless the altar is rebuilt, no fire will come down from the heaven. Unless the altar is repaired and rebuilt, the Lord will not send revival fire upon our nation. And we will continue. We will see our generation will be destroyed completely by the demonic power. It's your responsibility, brother and sisters in Christ, that let us come together. And I pray that, pray and cry out to the Lord to save our nation, to save our Joshua generation. Look at another revival. The Barrio revival came unexpectedly among a group of young students, but it spread like fire, first among parents, then among the community, then from one localized community to another. Always it was accompanied by one common sign: the people's sense of shamefulness and sinfulness before God. This led the people to a desperate seeking after God in repentance for forgiveness, crying for mercy, not just for their sin, but also for their religious hypocrisy and bondage to church traditions. Believe God is going to set us free from all this in the name of Jesus. And in the revival, the Holy Spirit prompted many to declare aloud their spiritual emptiness and bankruptcy and their surrender and dependence upon God. Are you spiritual empty and bankrupt? Are you willing to surrender your life completely to the Lord? But many who repented also felt a sense of love from God and relief from His forgiveness over their sins. At a regular service in the school, Solomon remembered, many spontaneously took their turns testifying of God's dealing in their life before a large crowd. Others spoke words of encouragement, exhorted from the scriptures, prophesied, or shared vision from God. Let us look at this Pakalalang revival due to time constraint. Can you please? Next. Look at Pakalalang revival in Sarawak, Malaysia. How many of you here come from Malaysia? Can you please raise up your hand? Is there any one of you? Praise the Lord. I am Malaysian too. You know that actually. So I would like to share with you about this testimony of revival. You know that it happened, you know that in the year 1984, an outpouring of the Spirit took place in the villages of Pakalalang, Sarawak. How many of you ever heard about this revival before? Okay, he said that this visitation was accompanied with unusual signs and wonders. Water changed to oil, rice to flour, fireballs and stars of life, stars of this fire lit up in the sky. There were angelic visitation, and central to this was a man of prayer and much humility called Agon Banga. He was raised by God as a prophet to prophesy, you know, over their people during the times. Okay, let us look at next one. You know, that during the time when they praise and worship God, when they pray to the Lord during the 7 days revival meeting, and next, Holy Spirit that began to see something happen in the spiritual realm. The Lord opened up their eyes to see something happen in the spiritual realm, happen, appear in the sky. You know, the fire of God. Did you see? Can you please turn off the light, please? They could see better. Yeah. Did you see the fire that is behind it? No. Drive away the demonic presence in that place. Did you look at that one? Look like snake? You know, so what is that? You know, in the book of this Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Can you please turn to book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Here is that, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. You know that actually during the time when they cry out to the Lord for revival to come upon their tribe, because they were addicted to alcoholism, sexual immorality, you know that, and also occult practice. So then the Lord raised up a group of intercessors to cry out to the Lord to send revival fire to come upon their tribe to consume all their darkness. And God answered their prayer by sending fire, and the Lord really literally show them what is going on in the heavenly realm. You know that with signs and wonders happen, and with something heavenly signs appear in the sky. You know that the fire of God just came, and then did you look at behind it? Actually, fire. The fire, just like how Elijah, when he set up the altar, the Lord sent fire. Remember? The Lord sent fire from the heaven. So God did the same thing. The Lord sent fire from the heaven, consume all the darkness in that area. And look at next one. You know that the more they pray, then the more that the Lord actually purified their life. You know, they weep and weep and weep before the Lord, repented before God, and asked Holy Spirit to come and consecrate their life. And look at next one, next slide. And until it's completely driven away, you know, that those demonic presence completely driven away, they were completely set free from the demonic strong bondages. And the Lord grant them freedom because they are willing to consecrate their life. So look at, you know, that even their soul fireball appear in the sky. Now look at, like, look like, you know, the cross. This appear in the sky. Look at next slide. You know, this one, what they saw, you know, the fire appear in the sky. Next slide. You know, next. They saw also angelic visitation that appear in the sky. Next slide. So therefore, we need to be consecrated in order to prepare ourselves for the coming greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So therefore, we need to ask God to consecrate ourselves. There are seven reasons for consecration. Why we need to be consecrated. The first reason is, what is the definition of consecration? Consecration is wholehearted devotion. Your eyes have been opened and you are giving yourself wholly over to the Lord. The first reason why we need to be consecrated. Consecration prepares you for an unknown future. The second reason, consecration prepares you to stand before two people, God and your enemies. And consecration purify your heart motivation. And the fourth reason, consecration averts God's judgment and bring God's presence. The fifth reason, consecration makes the spiritually weak strong. Sanctification is a way to perfection and maturity. And the sixth reason, consecration is a way to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, who is our high priest forever. Therefore, and I pray, the last reason why we need to be consecrated, because so that we are able to do God's will. We are able to finish the rest. We are able to fight the good fight in our life. And the Lord is going to raise you up as a strong overcomer. And once you overcome all your weaknesses, once you overcome all kind of a temptation, just like Daniel chose not to defile himself with loyal food and wine, God raised it up as a mighty vessel to speak to the king and to his people in the palace and really bring forth the name of God. The name of God glorified through Daniel's life in Babylon. Today, United States, just like Babylon. And God is going to raise up consecrated vessel to river of God revival upon our nation. I would like to hand over this time. Believe that this morning God wants to bless you, God wants to heal you, God wants to restore you, and God wants to purify you, God wants to consecrate you. Will you respond to the call of God? And I pray, I would like to hand over this time to Pastor Daniel, and I would like to invite the rest of the ministerial staff to come and minister to all these people. I pray that the Lord is going to touch you, and you will experience a fresh encounter with God this morning, and your life will never be the same again. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's all stand together. We'll respond to God's word. I want to invite the prayer ministry team, if you can come forward at this time, worship team, if you can come forward as well. I'm going to start off with a prayer on behalf of our church, and then we're going to begin to respond personally to the Lord and to his message to us today. If it's okay with you, I just feel like we just need to get on our knees at this time. So if you feel comfortable, and if you would, let's get on our knees and just join your hearts with mine. Let's respond to God's word. Father, more than this physical action, Lord, I come to just lead our church to get on our knees before you and to repent of our ways that have grieved your heart. Lord, thanks for this past week that we've been through, that there was fasting, there was repentance, there was worship to you, there was Bible reading. Lord, you know our heart in this church. Yet we also recognize that we fall short. We just pray even this morning, God, shine your bright light upon us. Reveal to us those areas that need to be made right, that need continual renewal, that just need a special breakthrough from you. There was a word at the praise night that was given about areas that we feel like we need to repent, or that we even repented, but we just feel like that we're still stuck. Meaning that we came before God and we're like, God, this was wrong. I want to be free of this. And we cry out to God, and then, but the next moment or the next day, we feel like we're still stuck in that. We can't get rid of it. Feel like that God said that we need to do our part, and that we need to let him do his part. And so we went through this week of repentance, of making it right. Yet we need God's breakthrough in some areas. We need God to supernaturally touch us and rescue us in certain areas. And so, Father, we say yes to what only you can do. We say yes to you lifting us up out of the slimy pit, the miry clay. We say yes to your touch that could only do that in our lives. Father, in this season, beyond just last week, and I do believe it is a season of cleansing. It's not just one week of cleansing, but just a season that we're in, where God wants to clean up some stuff in our lives and in our church, in our culture. We just say yes to that. Father, we say yes to that. Lord, we know that you've given us a vision for a revival, even a part of a global movement that would sweep this earth in this generation. We're excited about that. We say yes to that. But we also acknowledge this word today, and we want to just pause and say yes also to consecration, revival and consecration. And we want to be a pure people before you. And so we pray that you would continue to cleanse us in this season and wipe away the things that are grieving you and worldliness or other issues. I'm just going to pause for maybe about 2 minutes right now. Just let the Lord speak to you. There might be some other areas, some other blind spots that the Lord would illuminate. And also just in your heart, cry out to him for some areas that you might feel stuck. We need a supernatural work of God. Just before we do our altar ministry time, I just feel like we need some more prayer for each other. And so would you just appropriately just place your hand on the person's shoulder next to you and just pray for them. I feel like we need to just pray for each other, for areas where we might be stuck, and for God to be the one. I believe it's Psalm chapter 40, where God lifts us out of the miry clay. We just need to pray that God would be the one to rescue us and lift us out. There's been repentance and calling out for cleansing, but ask God to be the one to supernaturally lift people out of the slimy pit for his glory. And so pray for that, for your neighbor. Just about 1 minute, just pray for them. Out loud would be fine, and you don't need to know specifics. Just pray that God would remove them out of the sticky situations, out of the messiness that they might be in. And so let's pray for one another. Feel free to remain kneeling or sitting if you feel, but the rest of us, we can stand and we're going to worship the Lord. The altar ministry team, the prayer ministry team will be up here to pray for any and all needs. So that might be healing, that might be something related to what Pastor shared, but I just feel this sense to pray for people, especially that feel like that they're stuck in something. Like they're saying yes to God. You're saying yes to God and for God's rescue, but there might be just a feeling of feeling stuck in it. No one's going to know what you come up for prayer for, but I feel like that there's special freedom for you. If you're feeling stuck, for God's touch and just miraculous work in that. So let's all stand together. We're going to worship together two songs. Our prayer ministry team will be up here to pray for that. I do urge you to come receive prayer for that. I do feel like that there is a special freedom for that. So our altar ministry team will be up here. We'd love to pray for you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We pray that as we respond to you in these two songs of worship, that Lord, your Spirit would continue to move and there would be the freedom that only you can do. Release your anointing for prayer this time in Jesus' name.